Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio, fourth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Fourth day of unleavened bread. Remember, all feast day starts on the internet at 7:30. 7:30. All feast starts at 7:30 on the broadcast. 7:30. All feast days start. Whenever it's a feast day, it's at 7:30. 7:30. For all feast days. Day of Unleavened Bread, live broadcast, 7:30. It's time to get something going on the fourth day of Unleavened Bread. And I can see the network been on for quite a long time, but all feast days, 7:30 start time. All right. Okay, good enough. Another feast day, the fourth day of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to see who's going to be on stage for the next episode, part number four. Who will be on the network? Who coming on stage for the fourth day of Unleavened Bread? All right, let's see. Let's see what's going on. Got phones ringing everywhere. right, this is the fourth day of unleavened bread. Remember one thing, the feast go 7 days. As a matter of fact, we're going to read 12:16 and let you know that all, although the gates is open in all networks for all 7 days, all of the temple sites is open for 7 days, but what is required of you is what's written in 12:16. And we'll find out what 12:16 saying shortly after we get some of these phones on silence, and then we'll get to the broadcast. Remember, all feast days comes on the broadcast at 7:30. So tomorrow will be the fifth day, 7:30. We'll be on the network. But all sites is ready to go. And like I said again, got to get this WCC, Latter-day Saints, Catholic Church. Sir, you did not answer your phone. We tried to reach you all. Yeah? All right. Let's see what we got going on here. Okay. All right. Okay, well, we're going to get on network and whatever you got to say. The Spirit of Yahweh, give me to give you an answer to what your question is right now. We will do it. All right, we live. This is the fourth day of unleavened bread. We live at the temple of the Almighty Yahweh. Remember, all locations open. It's open. And the feast day starts on the internet at 7:30. All feast day starts at 7:30. Good enough. Enough said on that. Too many memos coming in all at the same time. I can't even see who on the stage. Let me see who on the stage for the ninth episode, fourth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. See who's out there and find the Young Lions. The Young Lions. Let's see how many Young Lions is ready to go. And let's start with Brother Micaiah. He coming on stage for episode number fourth day. Brother Micaiah, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. Yahweh bless you, F.C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel of B. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there. Brother Micaiah, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Excellent. Run down there and see if there's another one of them Young Lions ready to go on the broadcast. See if another Young Lion ready to go. I got a strange feeling this is going to be a short broadcast because it looked like to me this broadcast is just about over with already. And we're coming on at 7:30. But McKay, you remind those that had the ear to hear that the feast days All on Corn Network 7:30. Is that a tempo?
It's a tempo to the ones I talk to.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. So they clear that all the networks come on at 7:30, right?
Just certain ones I talk to.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. Brother Titus, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, no one of them Young Lions up and coming. Ready to do what he got to do. Brother Titus, Tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh BJC, right?
Yahweh bless you, Brother Seer Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. I think it's going to be a short broadcast. The way it looks like about 20 more minutes, this broadcast might be over. I don't know. Maybe an hour and 20 minutes. Okay, let's run out around Detroit, Michigan, and see what's going on around Detroit, Michigan. All right, let's see his Camp 4, Princess Leora Israel. Are you coming on stage for the nice episode part number 4? Yahweh be with you. What you saying, WCC? The Young Lions is enough for the nice broadcast. We've been trying to contact with you and find out what time was the broadcast. Well, I heard that. All broadcast starts at 7:30 on Feast Days, WCC. What y'all got set up in? Y'all must got some kind of trap set up or something. Well, whatever trap you got, it ain't going to work anyway. One thing about it, because David made a final statement. And matter of fact, let me see if I pull a rabbit out. Let me show you what David said. David made up a final statement before I give you some Luke 12:12. Brother Titus, before I give you some Luke 12:12, I want to see what David said. So David said something in the 17th chapter. He said something before I give me some Luke 12:12. Brother Titus, he said something that we can read. What did he say in the 17th chapter? This is going to be a little short broadcast, so we might as well just go another way and come back at this another way. In the 17th chapter, think of it, verse number 45 down to verse 47. That's all I need. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 45 to 47. I'm good for one piece of zeal. You on the clock. Come on.
The book of 1 Samuel this year, chapter 17, verse 45 to 47 reads, "Then said David to the Philistines, you coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh's hosts, Yahweh's armies of Israel, who you have defied." Verse 46 reads, "This day will Yahweh deliver you into your hand, into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give your carcass of the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, unto all the earth. May know there is a Yahweh in Israel." Verse 47 reads, "And all this assembly shall know that Yahweh saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh, and we will give you into our hand."
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So we clear that the world will be delivered into our hand at the time appointed, and Yahweh is making it plain. Ain't but one thing for us to do, according to
There's only one thing for us to do.
Yep, there's but one thing to do. And that is organize. That's it. And all we got to do is organize according to Doug Fair's Yahweh, and you take from there. Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 12, verse 12, if you just say you on the clock, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say." Here is real.
Oh, I heard you in grand style. I just got interrupted by the Latter-day Saints on the questions on the table. So they have a tendency to, they can control my microphone with no problem. So they got that in grand style. All right, good enough. So we got the message and we got the memos. And this will be a short broadcast. This broadcast will be 1 hour and 14 minutes. That's all it'll be. Remember one thing, all feast days starts at 7:30. 7:30. If it's a feast day,
which is the fourth day of unleavened bread. We live at all the temples. It's ready to go. Call for details. 224-600-5579. Be a short broadcast, an hour and 14 minutes. Let's see if we get something in this hour and 14 minutes. Let's open up. And Brother Titus, let's run to Exodus chapter 34. Let's find out what's going on. Is we on point? Is we on point that we can read in Exodus 34, verse 18, 20, and 26. Let's see if we on point on what we're doing on the fourth day of unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 34, verse 18, 20, and 26 says what?
The second book of the heavenly tablets, the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 18, verse 20, verse 26 reads, Exodus chapter 34, verse 18, the feast of unleavened bread shall you, the children of Israel, keep 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you. And
Hold that part right there. Brother Mackay, back up to 12, verse 16. Let's get some order of the rules and regulations. What is the rules and regulations on this feast we're dealing with right now? How about Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 16? Hey, Brother Mackay, Exodus chapter 12, 1, 2, and 16, what does it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and verse 16. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarine, saying, verse 2, this month should be unto you the beginning of month. It should be the first month of the year to you. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be a righteous gathering, and in the seventh day there shall be this gathering to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, say that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you.
Mm-hmm. He says, is any work supposed to be done in the sixth and ninth accounts is temple business. Temple business on these feast days. He said, all the work supposed to be done is temple business on these feast days that comes on the network at 7:30, every feast day at 7:30. Now, so we find out right now we're the fourth day of unleavened bread. And so we find out the first day is a righteous gathering. The seventh day is a righteous gathering. All in between is just like meet and greet. All the gates and all the temples is open, but it's based upon just, you know, bonding, meeting and greeting, but the righteous gathering is the first day and the seventh day. So we know the seventh day should be by, I think, Wednesday night. I'm not sure that the elders or the young lions informed those seers exactly. But all we do know, whatever the seventh day will be of the gatherings, it will come on the network at 7:30. We know that part, 7:30 to 10:30. Good. So now, the righteous gathering, the first day we did that one. And the first day, in all first day feasts, you wear your white garments. All the rest of them, you wear your royal blue garments. All the rest of them is the royal blue garments. And after the seventh day of that feast is over with, they said on that tomorrow, you count 50 days. Then the 50 days will be the next feast that's coming up called, one coming up after unleavened bread? What's the name of it?
Feast of Weeks.
The Weeks. So the Feast of Weeks will be coming out there, which they got a polluted title called Pentecost on it. The Feast of Weeks will be 50 days on it tomorrow after we complete the seventh day. Then on that next day, you count 50 days. And that feast will be that 50 days from that point. So the elves and the young lions keep up with it at the time appointed on that tomorrow
But remember, all feast days on the network becomes on network time on a feast day is at 7:30. All right, good. So now what you leave off on, what you leave off on, Matthias?
Hello, I got the verse 18. Exodus chapter 34, verse 18 reads, "The feast of unleavened bread should you keep. 7 days should you eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib, you cometh out of Egypt through the word hard bondage, slavery." Get down verse 20. "But the first thing of an ass you shall redeem with the lamb. And if you redeem him not, then should you break his neck. All the firstborn of your son you should redeem, and none should appear before me empty."
Mm-hmm. So the point we want at the end of it, on feast days, what does the last line say again? What does the last line say? That's the part we were looking at. What it said on the last line again there, Brother Titus?
"And none should appear before me empty."
Oh. So that's what he say on the feast days. All right, good. Now skip down to verse 26. And what is he saying? Give me about four lines in verse 26. What do 26 all need about four good lines? What it says in Exodus 34 and verse 26. What do 26 say? Give me three lines. That's good enough.
Exodus chapter 34, verse 26. "The first of the firstlings of your land should you bring unto the temple of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah."
Excellent. There it is right there. Now back up to Exodus chapter 10. I mean, same book. Read verse 10 and skip down to verse 27 and 28. Let's see what we can get out of this. Let's see what we can get out of 34, verse 10, 27. Is these feast days is a cameo. Let's see what we can read in verse 10, 27, and 28. What it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 27, 28.
Yes, sir. 34, verse 10. 34, 27, and 28.
Exodus, chapter 34. Verse 10, 27 to 28.
Mm-hmm.
"And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all your people, Israel, and I will do marvels, such as have not been done in the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of Yahuwah, for there is a terrible thing what I will do with you."
Yes.
Verse 27-28 reads.
Very right.
"And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Write you these words, for after the tenor of these words, I will make a covenant with you and with Israel."
Mm-hmm. Verse 28 reads. And when the people heard all that good stuff, what did they do in 34 verse 20? After all that good stuff was heard, they was all ears, and in 34 verse 20, what did they do that we can read?
Exodus chapter 34, verse 20. The last two lines or the whole verse?
The whole verse of 20. 34 verse 20, what did it say?
Exodus 34, verse 20. "But the first thing of an ass shall you redeem with the lamb."
Oh, wait. Well, hold on. You're right. The verse 20 is in 35. Sorry about that. Make that 35. 35 verse 20. Thank you, young lion. You on point. 35 verse 20. After they heard all that good stuff, what happened next that we can read?
Exodus chapter 35 verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
You see that? So once you get the instructions, once you get the instructions at the temple, then you go on about your business. They understood all that thing. They said, okay, we got it, Moses. We gone. We'll catch you on the next get down. Brother Makai, young line 35, 1 through 5, 10, 21, 22, and 29. Exodus chapter 35, 1 down to verse 5. Skip down to verse 10, 21, 22, and 29. Young line Makai. Let's roar a little bit. Come on.
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 35, verses 1 through 5, 10, 21 through 22, and 29. The book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 1 reads, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the nation of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh hath commanded that you should do them. Verse 2, 6 days shall you work. 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day, there shall be to you a righteous day, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Whosoever do work therein shall be put to death. Verse 3, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the nation of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, verse 5, take you from among you an offering unto Yahweh. Whosoever is of a willing mind, let him bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and bronze. Verse 10.
Wait a minute. Oh. So this ain't none something that pulls up. Force you to do anything. He said, Yahweh said to Moses, he said, look at it. You see them 12 tribes around? He said, all of them will be present before you. He said, call all the big dignitaries out of every tribe and said, take an offering from them that's the one that's willing. Willing to do Yahweh's business. So this got to be in you. It ain't all that fast talking and what I do. No. Moses was told by Yahweh what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, man, take a willing offering from them, the one that got a willing mind. That what he just said. Did he say that, or did I put him in that in verse 5 again? What did he say in verse 5?
The book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, take you from among you an offering to Yahweh. Whosoever is of a willing mind, let him bring you an offering of Yahweh, gold, silver, and bronze.
Oh, gold, silver, and bronze. So that means what Brother Titus read it, otherwise the person of gold, silver, and bronze. So that was the situation at that time. Gold, silver, and bronze. And you know, right now, it's greenback. He said, the one that's willing to step up, land, school, banquet hall. He said, the one that's willing, that's the one you work with. But the one got a problem with that, just note them and keep it moving. That's all you do. Skip down to verse 10, 21, 22, and 29, what it say?
Okay. Verse 10 reads, in every wise mind among you shall come and make all that Yahweh have commanded. Verse 21. And they came, everyone whose mind stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing, and bought Yahweh's offering through the work of the temple of the congregation, and for all his servants, and for the righteous garment. Verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-minded, and bought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered
offered an offering of gold unto Yahuwah. Verse 29. The nation of Israel bought a willingly offering to Yahuwah, every man and woman whose mind made him willing to bring him for all manner of work, which Yahuwah had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
That's big talk. Did that start with Moses? Did that start with Moses that we can read? Back up to the second book of Enoch, 45, and see where that came from. Let's see what that, even before the flood, was all that's going on. Let's see what Enoch got to say on that. So we go and see now in the second book of Enoch, see, one thing about it, for Yahuwah's business, you got to be willing and ready to step up to the plate. It ain't no discussion what the book says. You step up to the plate because, and Yahuwah say to Moses, he's Moses. I believe Yahuwah already know about, Brother Titus, what do he know about 46 verse 10 of Isaiah? What do Yahuwah know that we can read in 46 verse 10 that we can read?
Go to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 reads, declare the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel sustains, and I will do all my pleasure.
You hear that? So Yahuwah, when Yahuwah told Moses to take an offering from the people, he already know who gonna have a willing mind and who not. So it just when you watch others, Yahuwah already know. But what he do? He expose the one that do not want to follow the Bible. They want to follow their own spirit by like saying, I'm gonna make a willing offering to Yahuwah. That was some minds would say. But Yahuwah said to Moses, take care of his business. So you see, you got to watch these spirits, because these spirits will be very damaging if you don't know the rules and regulations. The rules and regulations. Now, Enoch is on the clock. Now, Enoch is the seventh from Adam. Let's see what he says in 45, 1 and 2. Brother Micaiah, what did Enoch say we can read in 2 Enoch 45, verse 1 and 2.
The book of 2 Enoch, chapter 45, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, whoever hurries to make offerings before Yahuwah's face, Yahuwah will hasten that offering by giving of his work. Verse 2, but whoever increases his length before Yahuwah's face and make a judgment that is not true, Yahuwah will not increase his treasures in the realm of the highest.
You mean that's written in the Bible? You mean what you just got through reading, this is the seventh from Adam. This is before the flood. He says those that hasten to take care of Yahuwah's business, they're going to be all good in his eyesight. And those that drag their feet, they ain't got nothing coming. They just right there. So, that's a big verse there. That's why I say you get the lesson from the tone of people's speech. That's why one thing about it, all the feast days, we eat them up and drink them up, but because we be drinking them up, don't think our memories. Sometimes drinking have a person to say some things that they would not say. And sometimes we like to hear what you got to say when you're patting that bottle, because you might say some things that one day Yahuwah said, you know, I called in from the beginning. You know, that wine make them talk faster than they normally talk. So now but it's up to you to make a note of that. And that's a great thing. All right, we got that part out the way. Now, let's, so when they heard that, what did they do? In Exodus 35, verse 20, when they heard Moses say, this is the way what Yahweh wants to be done. What happened that we can read above Micaiah in 35, verse 20? Let's see. When Moses told them exactly what Yahweh wants, let's see what they did in 35, verse 20 again. What did they do once they heard the rules and regulations? 35, verse 20 of Exodus, what did it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, "And all the congregation of the nation of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." Verse
21. See, no murmuring, no complaining. They understood that Moses was speaking from the mouth of Yahweh, and just like we speaking from the mouth of Yahweh by turning the pages and reading what the Bible says. So now, when time progresses on, Brother Titus, time progresses on, and it was time now for the flood had on wiped away those that don't want to do it right. And here come Abraham on the table. And let's see what he did in the 14th chapter of Genesis, verse 18 down to verse 20. Let's talk about Abraham for a minute. Now, what did he do? What did he do? And WCC just informed me, yeah, this will be a short broadcast. You got an hour more to go. Bring up what I said for you to put on the table. Let me tell you something. We got the young lions already on the network. If you want to silence my microphone, you go ahead and do it. But we ain't going to bring up what you got on the table. I'm looking at what you got on the table. Because since the broadcast is so short, we just going to go away. It is. Now, let's see about Abraham. Now, Abraham will be the father of Isaac and Jacob, who named things of Israel. Let's see what the old father got written in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 down to verse 20. Let's see what we can read there. Brother Titus, what can we read? Come on.
The book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 all the way down to 20. And my church that flew the word for Yahweh the son, king of Selah, flew the word for Israel, bought for bread and wine, for he was the priest of the Most High, Yahweh.
Well, hold that point right there. Now Salem, now since you said that, Salem, now, so that lets you know, now that's very important what you just said. He's the king of what again?
They got king of Salem.
Good, that's what they got. That's what they got, and that's what it is. He's the king of Salem. Wow. Okay. So let's find out as you progress along. Let's stop there for a minute, please. You know, it's a short broadcast anyway. So let's find out exactly what is he saying? He the king of Salem. Let's see can we precept that a little bit. You know, sometimes you hear something, and let's find out if something that he the king of Salem. But Salem is, let's see if we find out something about Salem. I want to find out something about Salem. So he's the king of Salem. Okay. Let's see exactly what that means. Now, if you young lions, y'all want to kind of tell old Phil we got something on it, that'd be fine. But I'm keeping over in the book of Psalms about something. So now, anytime the young lion want to jump in there, because that was a final statement, he's the king of Salem. Now I want to find out, can that hold up when we put some book on something? Let's run to, thank you, that young lion. Let's go to the 76th chapter. Let's hear it again. Let's go to the 76th chapter of Psalms, chapter 76, 1 and 2. Let's find out something. Then let's see where we get suspicious. Will anybody get suspicious? He's the king of Salem. Let's go to 76th chapter, verse 1 and 2 of Psalms and see what it says. What does it say there? Come on.
All right, the book of Psalms, chapter 76, verse 1 and 2 reads, "And Yahdah is Yahuwah known. His name is great in Israel." Verse 2 reads, "And in Salem also is his temple and his dwelling place in Yahdah Judah, son of the king."
Oh, so there we go again, in Salem. So now this Salem right here, in Salem also is his temple. And he and his dwelling place is Yahdah Judah. So that's pretty good. I wonder who gets suspicious on that. So now, but you know what it says? You know, it makes a final statement in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it makes a final statement in Deuteronomy, Brother Titus. It says in to the children of Israel something in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It makes a profound statement in 4, 1 and 2. Can you help me out? What do it say in 4, 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy?
All right. The fifth book of the Abbey chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 1 and 2 reads, "Now therefore, listen, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgment, which I teach you, for to do this, that you, the children of Israel, may live and go in and possess the land which Yahuwah of your fathers giveth you." Verse 2 reads, "You should not add unto the word which I command you, order you, neither should you diminish off from it, that you may keep the first five books or instruction of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which I command you."
Mm-hmm. So it's telling the children of Israel that you don't do. I mean, the other 17 nations, they can do what they want to do, and they can count. They can put a counterfeit name in place. That's on them. But he's telling the children of the book, don't you do it. Now, we got a man called Salem on, and he says in 76 of Psalms, he said, Yahdah is Yahuwah known. That's who he's known by. That's who know him. And his name is great in Israel. And in Salem also is his temple and his dwelling place in Yahdah Judah. Now, that's a big prophet there. But we got a man called Salem on the table. His name is not polluted. No. This what they knew way back there when Melchizedek polluted for Yahuwah the son, polluted name Melchizedek, and a king met him, and he was the king of Salem. You see, this book right here, this right here is the greatest piece of literature it is, and those that are going to break this book down on the run and just be having nothing on your mind, just certain things that come up, you know, and just let you know. And we watch all of the big camps and whatever. They see this, they walk right past it. But see, sometimes you have to stop and check some things out. This king of Salem, so I know we don't got suspicions on it, because we know there's something more to that. Because we know if he's the king of Salem, then and what do Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 say? What's Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 say?
Book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 reads, "Every word of Yahuwah is pure. Here's your shield of condemned that put that trust in him." Verse 6 reads, "Add you not unto his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found to lie."
Okay. Now we're going to find out, hey, Brother Mackay, we're going to find out what they did. Now this is what we're going to do. We're going to run over here in the book of Matthews, chapter 5. Now you tell me what they do. Now you heard they said, don't add to his word. Now we know that David all knew about Salem. They knew about Salem because they knew their king was in Salem. They knew about that. Abraham knew about the king of Salem came upon him. Now, what we're going to do, we're just going to scroll down to Matthew chapter 5. And we're just going to peep at something and see what we can get out of this right here. And he said, don't add nothing to his word. Let's see exactly what can we stumble upon in the fifth chapter. And we'll pick it around by verse 35 and 36. Let's see what we can pick up on Ron in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 35 and 36. What can we pick up on Ron about this king of Salem?
Okay, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 35 and 36. Verse 35 reads, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool.
Hold on a minute. Go back to 34. We might make it sound good. We might make it sound good in verse 34. Pick up at verse 34.
And read the way it is?
Yeah. Read everything the way it is because we kind of catch somebody red-handed. Now, we found out that Abraham, the king that Abraham met was Melchizedek, and he was the king of Salem. That's who Abraham met. And David, in the 76th chapter of Psalms, he also said by the Spirit that the place was Salem. That's what the Spirit said. And it makes it plain in 31, 36, 37 of Titus. What do Yahweh say plainly for us to know, for the children of Israel to know? If somebody wants to know, we might go and get a whole big dashboard of it. And 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. What do you want us to know?
The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 31, 32, 36, 37, read. Wherefore I say unto you, all matter of sin and blasphemy shall forgive it unto men and women. But the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men and women. 32 reads. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him or her. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him or her, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. 36, 37. But I say too, that every idle word that man or woman should speak, they should give account thereof in the day of judgment. 37 reads, for by your word you should be justified, and by your words you should be condemned.
So by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Because he says to a seer in the book of Michael, Brother Titus, he makes a statement in the book of Michael. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, every time you go on in that work or have a Saturday class or whatever, we supposed to start seeing the growth, not continue to be bagging up. We supposed to see new growth in you. They're like, it's getting around the time of Passover. We find out that was a time of new growth. You know, so, you know, not when everything crunches. Start seeing the corn start blossoming. You start seeing things moving around a little bit. But this one says in the book of Michael, chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, Michael was sent from Yahweh to make a profound statement to the people of the book. And look what he says in 3, verse 1. What did he say that we can read?
I could have said chapter 3, verse 1 reads, for I say, here I pray you, O family, heirs of Israel, and you prince of the nation of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?
He says, the princes of Israel, you supposed to know the judgment. So you supposed to know the judgment. Now precept that back to the verse y'all jumped on for the whole last feast in 33:5-6. He said, you princes supposed to know judgment. That's what he say. Now, all the teachers out of Camp 1 brought 33:5-6 in. Now we're going to find out. Now let's go see if we can tie that in now. That was brought out last couple of feast days of Isaiah 33:5-6. What can we read out of there? Brother Tyler, what can we read out of that with this on the table? It says, and I said, here, I pray you, O heads of Israel, and you princes of the family of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Don't you suppose to know judgment? Don't you suppose to know the judgment of the northern kingdom? You must get it from the southern kingdom. That's what he's saying. And how we know he's saying that, we're going to read 35:5-6. See, we got to know all these things. See, we got to know all this good stuff, but the precept would tell us everything we need to know. 33:5-6. But Titus, bring it.
Isaiah said, chapter 33:5-6, read, Yahweh is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. For he filled Zion, through the word Yada Judah, with judgment and righteousness. Verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge should be stability of your times, and strength of salvation. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure.
So he tell the northern kingdom, don't you know that what Isaiah wrote is the way it is? What did he write again, 33:5? What did he write that we can read? Because this right here, he talking to in Michael days. I need a timeline on Michael. But in the same token, see, all the tribes, sooner or later, must know the order of Yahweh and how to get Yahweh's attention. And all the way you don't get Yahweh's attention, you got to get in order. So now, when he said in Micah chapter 3:1, and I said, here I pray thee, O head. Now, who is the head of northern kingdom? Now, how can we read the heads of the northern kingdom at? Young Lions, we still got about another 30 more minutes on the broadcast. We'll get a fresh start tomorrow at 7:30 on this broadcast. We have more time to get at what we want to get at, but we just going to throw some things on the table. Now, who is the heads of the northern kingdom that we can read? Now, which one of y'all want to bring that out from me? That we can read. The heads of the northern kingdom, and we read it last night, last feast day, the third day of the feast day. We read who the heads is. Who's the heads of northern kingdom that we can read?
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 29 down to 31.
Well, that can go good with it. But how about going to 1:32, Deuteronomy, before hundreds of years before First Kings came? Let's see if we get it right out of the 32nd chapter. Let's see if we get the number one out in 33:16-17. Let's see if we get it. Let's see if we can get it straight on out. Who gonna do what? Who gonna lead this thing? Let's run to third chapter. Matter of fact, you might as well bring Moses in place, because Moses doing the talking. Read verse 1, skip down to verse 16 and 17. How about that, young lion? 33, verse 1, 16 to 17, what that say? Of Deuteronomy.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1, verse 16, verse 17. Verse 1 reads, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahuwah, blessed the nation of Israel before his death." Verse 16 reads, "And for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brother." Verse 17, "His honor is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000 of Ephraim, and they are the 10,000 of Manasseh."
So who is the head of the 10 northern tribes that we can read?
Ephraim. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse 17.
Yes. So we can read. Now you can bring in what you got on the table, but there go your number one answer. So Moses, the man of Yahuwah, blessed Israel and let them know. He said, way up the road in Moses' day, because it's Moses talking about 1400 B.C. See, this thing right here, he didn't push nobody nowhere until way up the road. This was a prophecy. See, Moses was telling Ephraim, he was telling Joseph about Ephraim and Manasseh, because Joseph was around at that time. I mean, well, around Moses' time, Joseph, I think it was he around? Let me see. Let me think about what Joseph around. No, Joseph was long gone. But Ephraim Manasseh came from Joseph. So this was a prophecy of Ephraim going to be the one that pushed northern kingdom to the ends of the earth. Now we know lead tribes of northern kingdoms, Ephraim and his brother. Ephraim and his brother. And who will be the law, the one that tells the Bible in verse number 20? And although they're going to be the head, but who the one going to put the Bible on everybody in verse 20? So on the 10 northern tribes, let's find out who supposed to put the Bible on them, the 10 northern tribes in verse number 20.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, "And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlarges Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head."
Mm-hmm. 21.
21. "And he provideth the first part of himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver, the Torah instruction giver, who was he seated."
Mm-hmm. So we clear, but I need a little bit more out of 21. I need a little bit more. I didn't hear me enough out of 21. Matter of fact, I didn't hear the last two lines. I made it. Maybe I missed it. Give me the last two lines or last three lines of 21.
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 21. 21 reads, "And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver, Torah instruction giver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of Yahuwah in his judgment with Israel."
So he came with the head. Who the head? According to verse 17, who the head?
Ephraim.
And who bags him up in that verse 17?
Mm-hmm.
So when we read Micah chapter 3, it says, "I said, here I pray thee, O heads of Israel." See that? So you see what's going on here? Here it is. Oh, so who the heads of Israel? It is what it is. Here it is, Manasseh, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Gad. And see, and we can get into what happened to Gad, but we ain't gonna get into that. But one thing, well, see, but this is what the lawgiver, he slipped. See, the Bible is always the answer. What did Yahweh say? Now Gad is the one that had the Northern Kingdom record book. Let's see what happened in verse number 28 and 29. But Micaiah, look what Yahweh said in that same realm of conversation for Gad to never forget when a time appointed in verse 28 and 29, what it say?
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 28 and 29. 28 reads, Israel then should dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob, who name changed to Israel, should be upon a land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens should drop down dew. Verse 29, happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people, saved by Yahweh, the shield of your health, and who is the sword of your excellency, and your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon their high places.
That's a big job with that. So, you know, that's big talk. Now, when did Northern Kingdom leave to go where they had to go? And where did they go to? I ain't forgot about the king of Salem. I ain't forgot about that. But I won't talk about Northern Kingdom. I won't know where is the record when the Northern Kingdom make their move. Brother Micaiah, I need to hear a little bit more. And Brother Titus, give me a 13th chapter and have me verse 38. 38 through 47 of 2nd Ezra waiting on me. It's something I want to take a look at real quick. I want to take a look at something. See, this is the record book right here. See, everything, we got the record on everything. And all we got to do is know it's being the right ministry, and we show you the record of everything. Now, in the book of... It was a prophecy made in the book of Deuteronomy 21 somewhere. It was a prophecy made that we can read now in 21 Deuteronomy verse 17. Can you help me out, Brother Micaiah? Can you help me out in your line? What do they say in 21:17 of Deuteronomy?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 17. 17 reads, but he shall acknowledge this of the hate for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his.
So who supposed to get a double portion that we can read, Brother Micaiah? Who is this firstborn? So your firstborn is entitled to a double portion, and we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4. What is he talking about? What's the record on this? Genesis 5:32. What's the record on this? Who gonna get a double portion? Because because all of them come out of the descendants of this guy in 5:32, they had a land that they went to, but what land is this? Because land, he was entitled to a double portion. Who can we read is entitled to a double portion? Because the firstborn is the strength for the double portion. Who is he talking about in Genesis 5:32?
The book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 32. 32 reads, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
6, verse 10.
Okay. The book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
9:18 of Genesis.
Okay. The book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan.
Read a bit more. Read a bit more.
Verse 19. These are the 3 sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread.
All right. Good. So the 3 sons of Noah, and of them the whole earth overspread. So tell me one thing, young man. Who gets the double portion?
Shem.
Shem.
Mm-hmm.
Shem. Shem is the double portion. Shem got the first pick of, and what did he pick first? What land did Shem pick first, young lions? What land did he pick first? Young lions, what land did Shem pick first? Huh? So what land did he pick first? He picked the eastern world.
Uh-huh.
That's his first pick. You make a note, take a note. Now I might come again on you. So Shem got the first pick, and he picked the eastern world. Because we're written in the book of Jubilee, but see, time ain't going to... It's not in our favor because, remember, this is a short broadcast. This is an hour and 20-minute broadcast, short broadcast. And 30, remember, all feast days starts at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
All feast days starts at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to be throwing a few things on the table. Let the spirit just run. Now, if Shem picked up the eastern world, who is the next born son?
Ham.
Shem. Ham. So, and Ham had a choice was what? The southern world. So that's 1 and 2 is gone. Now, the third part was who? Who gets the third part?
Japheth.
Now, what's left is the fourth part. Now, the reason why I say the fourth part, because Shem gets the first and the fourth. We're going to find out in tomorrow's lesson, you have a people that's ruling in the fourth part. And then you'll be saying, oh, the fourth part is prophesied of a people ruling the children of Israel. And we're going to put a finger on the fourth part. Remember, the fourth part. The fourth part is the land we're getting ready to read in 2 Ezra 13. But let's find out first. Let's get them coming up out of there first on record. Let's get them where now they can make a choice now, because he put in the mind of somebody, or Brother Titus, he put in the mind of somebody to do such a thing. And who was this somebody he put in the mind to do certain things? Huh? Do we make your mind go a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Let's run to Isaiah. See, sooner or later, when we get ready at WCC, when we get ready, we're gonna come and deal with, but we gotta get in order first. We gotta be clear that the children of Israel was prophesied somebody was going to do something for the children of Israel. Now, somebody's going to do something that we can read. What's the prophecy in the book of Isaiah, Brother Titus, that we can read there was a prophecy of somebody going to do something for the nation of Israel. Now, what's the prophecy on that? There was a prophecy on it that somebody was going to do something for the nation of Israel in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to precept that in 2 Chronicles, but we want to get it out of Isaiah first. Now, who's going to help me out on that? On the prophecy of somebody doing something in the book of Isaiah. We can go to Chronicles with no problem, but we want to get it out of Isaiah's mouth. Now, who's going to help me out? Who helped the old seer get me out about something was prophesied about
now,
somebody going to do something?
Verse 7?
What verse again? Huh?
61 verse 7.
So what now?
Isaiah 61 verse.
No, we won't know about a prophecy. We won't know about a prophecy that was said to somebody back on, it was a prophecy made. Well, let's run the 44th chapter there, Micaiah. Let's run to the 44th chapter. And remember, you know, nobody paid me no never mind by getting them books together. So then you tell somebody, you know, in the congregation, hey, what you doing? What you mean what I'm doing? I want to rehearse the righteous act on you. You see? Because see, this thing here, you have to double dust this thing, and Yahweh going to have it where the spirit will be so high, and then we'll be able to make our next move. In the 44th chapter, there was a prophecy made in verse 27 and 28. What was made that we can read?
Okay. The book of Isaiah. Chapter 44, verse 27 and verse 28. Verse 27 reads, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your river. 28. That saith to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Yada, polluted word to Ruth, you shall be built into the temple, your foundation shall be laid.
Ain't that something? So it's a prophecy of who gonna give the order for a temple to be built. Why don't you young lions tell me that? Who is a now out of the mouth of Isaiah in 700 BC? He says he gave a name of somebody gonna do something, and he's not even born yet. What's his name? What's the name that we can read? Huh? Huh, young lions? What's his name that we can read?
According to Isaiah 44 chapter.
According to 27, 28. It was a name that was given in Isaiah days 100 and some years before this guy was born. And what is his name?
Cyrus.
Cyrus.
Say it again.
Cyrus.
Cyrus. So Cyrus is was the one going to do everything that I tell him to do. Why so? Why so, Brother Micaiah? 16 verse 1. Let me show you in Proverbs. Why so? See, that's why we try to tell you something. See this book, you ain't got to watch that one I've seen on anything. All you got to have the spirit of Yahweh. And we'll know when the spirit is always just top and fluid to the rim. He says Cyrus is going to be the one that's going to fulfill everything I got to say. And Cyrus wasn't even born then. Look what it says in 16, verse 1 of Proverbs. Backed up with 21, 1 and 2. Of Brother Titus. Same book.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, reading verse 1. Verse 1 reads, the preparation of the mind and man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh.
You see that? The preparation of the mind of men and the answers. See, Yahweh will have you make statements when you know, when you're not even think you're going to make statements, like one of the statements that was made yesterday. There was no accident, that statement to come out. But you understand, okay, good. So you justifying what you do according to Yahweh, personally going to come see you. And he told Moses to do that, and Moses passed it on to Aaron. But you so special, he going to come down and just himself and take your tithes and free will offering. He going to come down himself and receive it at your hands. See that? So you see, that's the kind of stuff we got to be clear of, that you never put these people in position, because they can cause you more harm to a like-minded person to come behind a statement like that. Behind a statement like that. Now, Yahweh going to bypass the ones he got in control to do these things, and you going to personally see him on your tithes and offerings. You see that? Yes, yes. So when you catch that spirit and Yahweh bring it out on you, it's up to you take notes on it. 21:1-2 says what?
The book of Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 and 2 read, the king's mind is in the hand of Yahweh. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he wills. Verse 2 reads, every way of man or woman is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh plundered the mind.
Is that? So see, Yahweh will make you say some things, but it's up to you to take notes. Brother Makai Ho, we got this time I ran out so fast. Like I said, it was a short broadcast anyway, an hour and 20 minutes. So let's back up to and see about our forefathers. Let's see what's going on within the 28th chapter of Genesis 1 through 7, then 14 down to verse 22. And let's see what we can get out of this real quick. We'll get back on it tomorrow at 7:30. Remember, the broadcast tomorrow, 7:30. 7:30. All peak day starts at 7:30. Let's go to, now we find out that, did you finish up Titus? Did you finish up the 14th chapter, verse 19 and 20? Did you read that?
14th chapter, verse 19 and 20.
Yeah, of Genesis. Did you get 19 and 20?
Okay. No, I didn't finish it up. Because remember, that was the word that Miss Sheldon and that Salem. And he had to come back for that. No,
come on back with 14, 19, and 20.
All right, Genesis chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. And he blessed him and said, bless thee, April, of the Most High Yahweh, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20, and he blessed the Most High Yahweh, which he had delivered your enemies into your land, and he gave them tithes of all, money of all.
So you see, so you see what Abram did? He gave Abraham a blessing, and Abraham gave him tithe of all. Now that's Abraham. That's what he did. Now his grandson in 28 chapter verse 28, 1 through 7, 14 through 22, if you could knock it out, Brother Makai, let's see what's going on here. Let's go to Genesis 28, 1 through 7, 14 out of verse 22, what do you say?
Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7 and 14 to 22. Verse 1 reads, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Cain. Verse 2, arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Verse 3, and Yahweh Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people. Verse 4. Give you a blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger, which Yahweh gave unto Abraham. Verse 5. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from there, and that as he blessed him to give him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Verse 7. That Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. Verse 14. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places whether you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. Verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the temple of Yahweh, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillars and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Yahweh will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and remnant to put on. Verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall Yahweh be my Yahweh. Verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Yahweh's temple. And of all you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you.
You see that? So now you hear what he's saying? He said, look, at whatever you put in my hand, I'm going to make sure a tenth come out of my hand to you. Now you mm-hmm. think you just personal wealth from come out of the sky and get it? No, see, Roy, you wouldn't come out of the sky and do it. And you know who knew about this all the time? And somebody knew about this all the time in verse 6. Who knew about all this good old stuff that was on this, was on the Israelites? Somebody knew in verse 6. Who knew in verse 6?
The book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from there, and that as he blessed him to give him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
You see that? So, see, the world knows that you are the blessed one, but they're going to keep you down because you want to be a transgressor. See, they know about you. It's just you don't know about mm-hmm. yourself.
That's right.
But you really know about yourself. Once you get in order, see, Yahweh gonna, he going to make the same one that, it, see, Esau and his five sons and the nation know who you are. You are the blessed ones. But the only way you will remain blessed, you got to follow the order. Then Yahweh will intervene. Sometimes, give me a closing statement, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, and skip down to 11 through 18, the closing statement. And we'll get back on it again tomorrow. Remember the short broadcast. Again, all these days, starting time is 7:30 on the network. Although all the temple sites will be open whenever you're ready to come in. But on these radio broadcasts, 7:30 for feast days. Now, let's see what it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, 11 through 18. Bring it.
The fifth book of every chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 1, 11 through 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, read. And all the Torah instruction which I command you, the children of Israel, this day, shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which Yahweh swear to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Verse 2. And you should remember all the way which Yahweh your father has
to lead you. Read verse 1, get 11 through 18, the closing statement.
All right, verse 11 through 18, read. Beware that you forget not Yahweh your Yahweh, but not keeping his Torah instructions and his judgments, any statutes which I command you this day. Verse 12. Next, when you have eaten and are full, and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Verse 13. And when your herbs and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Verse 14 reads, then your mind be lifted up, and you forget Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, blew the bird, hard bondage, land of bondage, slavery. Verse 15, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock of flesh. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that you might prove you to do you good at the latter end. Verse 17, as you say in your mind, my power and my might and my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, but you should remember Yahweh, your Yahweh, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swears to your father as it is this day.
Mm-hmm. So there is a deal. So Yahweh said, I give you wealth to establish his covenant. He says, he the one give it. Your hand ain't done jack. Yahweh give you power. He give you the necessary means of exchange or whatever it is on the table. But he said, don't forget, it is to establish his temple site first, that all those things will be added onto you. All right, young man, we'll get back on this tomorrow, this short broadcast. We'll get back on tomorrow. And what your closing statement is, you're on the clock, so come on.
I'm going to go to Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 1, chapter 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant for this, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. That's right. And when brothers dwell together in unity, they don't bring out a statement outside of unity. They bring a statement inside unity. So that's you understand who your brothers and sisters when they bring a statement inside unity, not bring a statement outside unity in. Young mind, Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 18, 10 down to verse 12, and tie that in with Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11 in a closing statement. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay, you say Acts chapter 9.
Luke chapter 18, 10 through 12, then roll down to Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11 in the closing statement. The flow is yours, and we catch you tomorrow. We catch all that's on the network at 7:30 on feast night. 7:30. We catch you at 7:30 tomorrow. Come on.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. 10 reads. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Yahweh, I thank you that I am not as other man now, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Go to the book of Acts. Chapter 5, verse 1 down to 11. Verse 1 reads, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, verse 2, and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your mind to lie to the righteous spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Verse, why did it remain? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why has you conceived this thing in your mind? You have not lied unto me, but unto Yahweh. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Verse 6. And the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Verse 8. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Verse 9. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed to go, Spirit of Yahweh? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and shall carry you out. Verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the spirit. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Verse 11. And great fear came upon all the congregation of the children of Israel, and upon as many as heard these things.
Go back to Genesis 28, 22 one more time. Let me show you. I'm going to show you what they're talking about. Genesis 28, 22, and a closing statement.
Book of Genesis, verse 28, verse 22. 22 reads, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Yahweh's temple, and of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you.
So, that's where he messed up. He sold the property. He know whatever he did, a tenth came out to the ministry. He threw back his tenth and threw a claw at him. He said, okay, I'm going to kill you, boy, and his wife knew about it. Brother Makai, closing statement to tomorrow at 7:30. You on the clock. Come on.
Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to live to see the feast of unleavened bread. Thank you, Yahweh, for blessing me to meet the share and learn word of Yahweh under the shift. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife, Patricia, has given me. Thank you, Yahweh, for the elders, the mothers, the teachers, the brothers and the sisters, the B-O-T-T-Y, and all the six anointed camps. I want to read the book of First Ezra, chapter 1, reading verse 10 and verse 19. And when these things were done, the priest, the Levite, having the unleavened bread, stood in very comely order, according to the kindred. Verse 11. And according to several dignities of the Father, before the people to offer to Yahweh, as it is written in the book of Moses. Verse 19. So the family of Israel, which were present, held the Passover at that time in the feast of sweet bread 7 days. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
They held it in order. And Yahweh, he's the order, Yahweh. If we get in order, he's going to intervene. If we recognize the signs of the time, he's going to intervene. But Yahweh wants to get in order. These feast days is Yahweh's feast. unleavened bread is 7 days. Then to count for the next feast. Keep that in your mind. Do Yahweh's will. And let the chips fall where they may. All right, remember to be back on the network again. And remember, all you the national audience, understand one thing. All feast days come on the network. It comes on at 7:30 if it's a feast day. But if it's a regular day, we'll be on at 6 o'clock. But if it's a feast day, which you got about three more left, we'll be back on at 7:30. So WCC, we got the questions. We will come to the phone and answer a couple of them. But we catch everybody again tomorrow at 7:30 for the fifth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 14 days to the 21st. Remember, when the 20th comes, when the sun sets, it's the 21st. This time when the sun sets. That's the game changer right there. All right, so we'll catch everybody tomorrow at 7:30 on the broadcast. All feast day starts at 7:30. Our feast day. From the mothers, from the hills, from them young lions, them roaring young lions that's getting in order to do this same leg work, getting the same fat. We're going to take care of Shalom, whatever that word was, but take care.